Specific Conversations from the Development Policy Centre with Tess Newton-Kane.
Good morning and welcome to Pacific Conversations. My name is Tess Newton-Kane and this morning I'm going to be chatting with Dulcie Banyala, who is our telecommunications and radio communications regulator here in Vanuatu. Good morning, Dulcie. Welcome to Pacific Conversations.
Good morning, Tess, and thank you very much for this opportunity to bring me on board and for an interview.
You're very welcome. I thought maybe, obviously, I know quite a bit about your background, but our listeners don't. So maybe just briefly, you'd like to tell us a bit about your background and your professional journey that got you to where you are now.
Yeah. In terms of educational background, I started off at the VIT, Vanuatu Institute of Technology, and then from there to Honiara, which is now the University of Solomon Islands, and then up to the University of the South Pacific, and where I'm currently doing my MBA program. And back to my professional background, I started off with USB.
Yeah, yes, didn't we all?
Yes. And being the regulator for Vanuatu is my second job out from USB.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you for that. So moving on to the work that your office does, why, in your opinion, does Vanuatu need an office like the TRR? What is its role and what is the contribution it's making?
Yeah. This is a very, very important question, Tess, and I'm very pleased that you've asked me because, in fact, people in Vanuatu, even the citizens or some other government, don't understand really what the role for TRR is. For those that you're listening, this office, the institution, is very, very important for development in telecommunications because its role is like a reverie. Mm-hmm. A reverie that's blowing whistle when there is fair game, unfair games going on within the sector and within the market itself in terms of telecommunications services. This is mobile services and internet services. And this is very, very important because when there is a competition, you know, one always wants to be the winner. But at the same time, to become a winner, you have to find ways to come to become a winner.
Yeah.
And by finding those ways, you know, sometimes you can step outside the boundary to win the game. And by stepping out of the boundary, then that's when the regulator comes in to say that, hey, come back into the area, the field, and let's play the game.
And also, does the regulator therefore have a role in making sure people understand where the boundaries are?
That's correct, which is why it's very important for us today that we're going out and making awareness and education to all the people, not just the citizens for the services available, but also for the services and also for the good use of the services that are currently available in Vanuatu. And it's very important in that sense.
Yeah, no, that's great. So previously, you know, there's been some work done, or I've certainly read commentary that indicates that our regulatory environment in this sector is considered to be among the best in the region. So what do you think are the factors that have contributed to that?
Thank you. It's an important question. This being the benchmark in the region is not measured by, you know, any in Vanuatu. This is an external measurement. For example, let's bring in World Bank and let's bring in the ITU. They have regarded Vanuatu to be the, you know, the model in the region for a number of areas. One, it's the good governance that we are maintaining. Two, we are participating at the global level where we are presenting, you know, and representing the Pacific views in some of the unique challenges that we are facing and how could we address these issues together within the region. And thirdly, is because it's an industry level playing field, this is what we are promoting. We work collaboratively with the stakeholders and in particular the industry, the telecommunications industry, to bring them on board and understand what their needs are and understand their challenges and understand what they're facing today and then work with the government to address and make sure we are all happy when we are, you know, doing the promotion, the development in telecommunications.
I imagine there are situations where not everybody can be described as happy. But I guess as long as they feel confident that it's an appropriate process and that there's proper accountability and transparency, they can accept decisions even if they don't necessarily give them 100% of what they want.
That is correct. I can always make reference to say that the regulators, being a regulator, it's one of the loneliest role in this, you know, nation or across the globe, because one, you have to be, you know, fair to everyone. By being fair to everyone, it means somebody has to, you know, forgo and, you know, becoming, okay, you know, I cannot get it, you know, yep. I have to compromise. And this is where we are. Yes, we have been facing that. Not everyone is happy, but being compromised and understanding what we know we reach, you know, especially in our decision, is very important.
That's right. And I guess the other thing is making sure that everybody stays at the table, that you don't, that you keep the dialogue going, you keep the channels of communication open so that you don't have people just sort of saying, well, we're just not going to play by, we're just not going to be in the game anymore.
That is very, very true. And that is the way forward in all our discussions and in all our consultations. It's very important to get them on board, all our stakeholders, seek their views, have, you know, what are their concerns, and then we work on, you know, addressing to make sure that everyone is happy in that sense. But one thing that makes us so unique in the region is being totally independent. Mm-hmm. By being independent from all the stakeholders, a decision is independent. It means we are sending a signal to the investors, especially the operators, that we are not being influenced. It's the independent decision after consulting all the stakeholders. And also, that also, you know, give them some certainty in their investment. And this is very important, you know.
It is, because, I mean, in this sector, we're looking at people that can be investing huge amounts of money, whether in infrastructure or other things. You know, it's not a small money game. I mean, people are looking at putting in large amounts of money. They're going to need a long-term return on their investment. So I appreciate your point that aspect of certainty or predictability about the environment is very important to them.
That is correct. I think you have read it very well, and it is indeed what we are promoting, and it is indeed why the operators are coming forward. And even, for example, to have in to report back the statistics of development in Vanuatu, it's not easy to get those statistics, but, you know, having the trust and being confident and showing to them that, no, this is an independent decision, this is, a confidential information that we bring in, and then we put together and we send out to the government and citizens to know the trend in the telecommunications market in Vanuatu.
Okay, I think that's really important information for us to have. So we've touched on it slightly, but I'd just like to explore a bit further. Looking to the medium to longer term, what do you think are some of the challenges that your office is going to be facing?
A number of challenges that we are currently facing, but, you know, we'll just have to move and find ways of how to address. One, it's the sustainability. It's sustainability. Given that it's totally financed by the 2.25% of the net revenue for the telecoms operator's license fees, then that's where we are. And also, particularly having World Bank and the Australian aid that have currently assisting with funding is very important for us, which is why we are now working on other, you know, sources of revenue to get us there. So it's a financial, you know, sustainability, it's operations. And then secondly is that it's now becoming what we call the convergence environment. This means it's a telecommunications plus the broadcasting. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, two operators are already indicating to not only provide telecommunications but also broadcasting. So what does that mean to us? At the moment, we don't have that framework of broadcasting, given that the broadcasting is now under the Prime Minister's office, and it's both a regulator and it's an operator, and that's not already, it's giving the, you know, the question mark to the operators. So those are another challenges that we are facing. The next one is, you may have heard of over the top services. These are, you know, services like WhatsApp, Skype, Fiber, those that, you know, you are using the applications to communicate, you know, the voice, you know, communications, you know, through internet. This is another challenging area that we have to work on. But at the same time,
is the challenge there?
The challenge in there is that now having a third party within there, it's a value-added service, a third party that comes in and is going to use some infrastructure in there, you know, to pass on that, you know, new service.
Yes, and but they're not contributing to the costs.
For the operators, it's not an easy life, and it's not a, you know, the easy ride for them, and even the government. But at the same time, for us, the citizens, that's what we need. That's what we want. It's, you know, we want something cheaper at that level. But how can the regulator come in to address that, to make sure that, you know, it's there for the consumers, but at the same time, you know, hearing the operators' concern, because, you know, they are there and they're maintaining.
They're losing revenue because people are using these other methodologies. And I guess that also indicates, and I think, you know, that is a very good example of how the sector that you're in is one where the technology is changing so rapidly that, you know, I mean, we all find it hard to keep up with the latest apps and different methods. So is that a challenge as well, maintaining your technical awareness?
It's technical awareness is very, very important, not just within the TIR, but it's also important for the citizens. You have to be aware. You know, for example, if you're not careful with your credits and you don't understand the technology that you're using, surely you will lose that credit. And you'll be perceiving that, you know, the operators are stealing from you. It's your understanding.
Yes.
You have to know and you have to understand.
And it is difficult. You know, I was in Fiji a couple of weeks ago and went to get a SIM card and, you know, this young person sort of opened his mouth and all these words came out. Like, I have no idea what you, you know, and I know I'm not getting best value out of the bundle that I bought because I haven't devoted the time to looking at it and understanding and making use of it. But, and obviously, so, you know, I'm not getting good value for money because I just couldn't be bothered. I didn't have time.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
For people on low incomes that are relying on this and are needing to watch every VATU, it's really important that they are able to understand those things.
It is very important, Tess, in that sense, and especially for us because, you know, illiteracy rate is higher, you know, but at the same time we're seeing them to be using, coming online and using cell phone. It means something, you know. Now, if we are to, for example, we're rolling out at the moment, you know, to reach the target that the government has already, you know, provided in the policy to say that by January 2018, we should reach, you know, 98% of the broadband is internet across, you know, 98% of the population coverage in terms of broadband and also voice. And that is massive. It's massive in a sense that, okay, here we are, there is a broadband, you know, access, and then there is a voice access. What can you do? Now, if you're ready to effectively and positively utilize that access, that's good. But if you're not ready and you turn it to, it becomes, you know, negative in your life, that's another important matter that we have to address now. And that's also one of the challenges because here we are with the most beautiful, you know, the values, the cultural values we have and, you know, and our traditions. At the same time, it's a Christian nation, and we want to promote and maintain this. But at the same time, now it's changing. The direction in terms of technology is changing, and the people are turning around, the youth especially. They're brought up. We call them digital natives now.
Yes.
We call them digital natives. They're coming straight into digital, which means that we have to make them learn their own culture. And this is one of the challenges, you know, which we have to be very careful with.
It is a challenge, but then also access to this technology and these tools also creates an opportunity.
That's correct.
To spread, to share the values that we want to share. You know, you can, kids can watch YouTube videos of cultural ceremonies that happen in different parts of the country. So there are lots of opportunities as well.
Yeah.
It is essentially a set of tools, and we can. I think it's important that we don't forget that human beings make decisions as to how they use those tools and whether they use them for good things or less good things.
Yeah, I am very pleased with your view, Tess. This is really, really good because it's exactly what we are promoting. We want to make sure that it's positively impacting the lives in there. Mm-mm. It's there to enable your life.
Yeah.
It's not there to destroy and becoming, you know, something that you don't, as we, you know, heard from complaints received in the TRR.
Yeah.
And which is why we turned, you know, our awareness to be, you know, much more kind of positively used, whatever is there, the access and the device.
Now, as you say, it's all changing and it's having significant impacts at an economic level, at social level, you know. So, I mean, all of these things are part of this very quickly changing environment that not just Vanuatu but other Pacific Island countries are also dealing with. Just to sort of broaden our discussion a little bit, What role, if any, do you see for a regional approach to telecommunications regulation in the Pacific? And I guess this is partly coming back to the issue of sustainability. You know, can it be done cheaper or more cost effectively if we had a regional facility for telecommunications regulation? And also, might it help address some of the other challenges like keeping up and sharing experiences? Or is it something that you think needs to be done, can only really be done on a national basis?
This is a very important question, and I'm pleased that you have asked that. At the moment, we have, you know, the Pacific Institute of Regulatory Resource Center, mm-hmm. and it's based at the University of the South Pacific. This is a center where all the regions or all the island countries, you know, paid for membership. Mm-hmm. And by paying for membership, they become part of the center where, you know, they collect all the statistics, they collect, you know, even providing capacity building for the nations. And it's something that we want to promote, not just because at the moment there is very limited membership. I think there's 5-7. But we want more members, more island states to, you know, come in and be part of that.
So I'm just going to push you on that because yep. this whole concept of regional provision of services yep. is one that I've thought quite a bit about. How useful is that facility to you on an ongoing basis in the work of this office?
Very good. At the moment, I must say we are still on the establishment process. We haven't had, you know, very good output of it. It's because we're still establishing the institution. So by establishing the institution, they need the support, which is why we're providing support. But to get the feedback and the return is when we involve the center itself to comment on any regulatory framework that we have, so that they could, you know, go around and check whether, you know, it's also usable or it's being applied in one of our regional countries.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where we are at the moment with that
center.
All right.
So that's more like an information sharing.
That's correct.
Collaboration.
That's correct.
What would you see as the likelihood or the possible benefit of upgrading that into a regional regulatory body, a body that oversaw regulation in this sector across all of its members?
That is an objective. That is what we want to achieve by, you know, establishing that center. It's a center that will provide all the resources we know out if we don't have any money to, you know, get the consultant or for the specific issue. So that's the aim, and we're going there, and I already could see we will achieve that.
Okay, and do you think that that's that's going to be beneficial for Pacific Island
that's
countries?
That's going to be very beneficial for the Pacific countries, given that at the moment everyone is involved setting up their regulatory institution based on projects. It's support that is provided mostly by the World Bank, and some other aid donors, I would say.
So a related question, I think, is based on your experience with TRR, and I know you were with the organisation prior to becoming the regulator, what do you think the process or the progress of TRR has to teach us about regulating other sectors?
That is a very good question. At the moment, I have to say that we were consulted, you know, about regulating the broadcasting as well. But my only concern in here is that we have not, you know, had that proper framework established for telecommunications. And we have to be very careful with this, because once we get into Converge, then we might be sidetracked. Mm-mm. I'm more concerned, especially because we are still rolling out instead of, you know, accessing and, you know, usage.
Yeah.
At the moment, we are connecting. Mm-mm. And by connecting, we have to be focused and make sure that we connect everyone that, you know, the government wants, you know, to be connected. But at the same time, here comes the convergence, you know, which means that, okay, for example, in Samoa, it's a converged regulator, and even in PNG, you know, it's the regulator for Samoa, it's regulator for utilities, but broadcasting, water, and telecommunications, all in one, and it's the same regulator. And PNG is the converged regulator. This is now broadcast and telecommunications. But in Vanuatu, there's purely telecommunications, but there is potential, you know, to consider other areas as well, particularly broadcasting.
Yeah.
But I think it's still early, you know, to consider that, given the resources, you know, financial resources.
I mean, certainly, you know, I've been asked about this as well, as, you know, should we just have one regulator? And I can see that there are certainly there are technical aspects that you need technical expertise. But when it comes to the more sort of back office things like, you know, economists to do economic studies or secretarial and administration, human resources, financial management, I think there is something to be said for having a combined suite of those generic services that all the regulators need, and then maybe adding in the more technical aspects, whether it's for telecommunications or utilities or water. So I think that's something that I think we'll probably be talking about again in Vanuatu, because I think, you know, it is going to be an issue, because as you say, sustainability is an issue.
That's correct.
That is that does create a potential to achieve some cost savings.
That's correct. And it's not just from us, and it's not just from you and I. I believe the government is also considering that. And, you know, we don't really know when it's going to become a topic or an agenda for discussion.
Yeah, well, I think it will be on the agenda, and, you know, we'll look forward to seeing how things develop. Dulcie, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for this interview. I am very, very pleased to have you.
Too. You're very welcome. It was good to catch up with you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to a podcast from the Development Policy Centre. For more information on our work, visit our website at devpolicy.anu.edu.au.